At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Saoirse Hanley, the audience editor and columnist with The Independent, picking winners and sinners from the week gone by. Alison, who's your winner of the week?
The people of Carlow.
Okay, all of them?
Covered, well, the 300 that turned up for Mary Regan's
funeral. All right.
Did you cover
the other 60,500 get stuffed?
It is a heartwarming story that basically this woman passed away, and she was, I think, almost 90. Mm. She didn't have any next of kin when her partner Fred passed away last year. And there was a local undertaker, Rory Healy, and he just went to social media. You've probably covered it. And he said, if anybody has time to turn up, 45 minutes to spare for mass, it'd be nice to send Mary off properly. And when he walked into the church, he was like, oh my God. He expected like a dozen people, and there's over 300.
Yeah, it's amazing,
like,
isn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing. So that got us talking about this with people upstairs, and they're like, would you like to? And I'm like, this is a 26-year-old talking about this, by the way. Would you like to be present for your own funeral and how you could orchestrate this?
Are you saying you're 26?
No, I'm not. The 26-year-old I was talking to. I was like, why are you thinking about this when you're 26? But he's like, I would like to orchestrate it so that, you know, I would be able to see the funeral. And then, like, and he was talking about how he'd map that out and things like
wow.
that. I'm like, you're thinking about this? And it's like, but what would be worse is if no one turned up. And I'm like, I'm pretty confident people will turn up.
Yeah.
But for Mary, obviously, with not having any next of kin, it was restoring faith in humanity that many people turned up for her.
And had he thought through how he was going to watch it? How he's going to see
yeah,
his own funeral?
So he was going to fake his own death.
Okay. Right. Like when he was still young?
No, I think later on.
All right. So when death is imminent,
yes,
he knows
exactly,
it's coming.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
maybe do it a week early.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So he's
wow.
thought about it.
I think if I knew my death was coming, touch wood, I would like orchestrate a little pre-funeral.
Right. Would you?
Would you not want to hear what everyone has to say about you? They can only say nice things because you're dying.
Well, what if they don't?
They don't say nice things.
What if they
yeah.
don't?
Yeah.
Or what if they overheard them?
It would be the very last chapter in the book, the story of your life would be one of abject disappointment when the people who you thought loved you are bitching about you and only about half a dozen turn up to the
yeah,
funeral.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, only a few people turn up. You'd be so disappointed.
You're better off.
It's better just
the
dying.
The funeral you imagine is better than the funeral in reality.
Because I guess if no one turns up, you're not going to know, right, if you're dead.
Exactly.
But it was
you only
really
need six
nice
people to turn up to carry the coffin. After that, just
or like
extras.
Four really
just
strong
like more mouths to feed after that. That's all I say.
Too many sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly.
But so yeah, the people of Carlow is amazing.
Yeah, it is. I'm fascinated by what this individual
you
who shall remain unnamed. had he thought about like music at the funeral? How he was going to?
We were just talking about that actually,
right.
So we got interrupted.
Okay,
this could be part one of a part two conversation.
All right, okay, I'm fascinated. Have you thought about that as well? Your little pre-funeral.
My pre-funeral.
Is yours going to be like a fake funeral, like Cahill's? Or
no, I'd be there. No, do you know what it is? Right, I am torn between having an absolute tearjerker. Like I want everyone to be really upset when I die. Obviously,
yes.
And
even if you die aged like 90.
Oh God, yeah, gone in her prime, struck down. I want everybody to be mourning. I want Cove to go. I want there to be a day of mourning. All the mirrors are covered up. But I'm torn between it being one of these really joyful like celebrations of life where you can like have really good songs and happy songs that I loved or whatever. Maybe I don't know. One Direction.
I would definitely want that.
Or would you want everyone to be like, maybe you could do both. Like I could have one, like a little primer where everybody's really upset and really sad. And then like curveball, like record scratch, a really happy song comes on and everyone's like wiping their tears away and laughing at how hilarious I was in life and death.
I would like the hilarious side of things.
Yeah.
You know, you'd want to be remembered. Yeah. What's the covering the mirrors thing?
Isn't that a thing that like you cover up the mirrors in the house someone dies? I've never done this, but apparently that's
a thing. I've never
culturally
heard of that.
All right, is it?
Maybe that's really old. Maybe that's Victorian or something that they used to do that, like in mourning, you'd cover up the
I wonder
whatever.
What the reason is for that.
That actually I'm going to have to look this up, but I feel like it might be like a religious thing.
Mm.
I'm not sure which religion, but I'm sure it's a thing that they cover it up.
Okay, I can hear the eye rolls of all the people who know.
Yeah, I know.
Radio around the country.
Please, Saoirse.
So the good people of Carlow who turned up, your winner of the week. People love turning up to those things. My mother loves if there's a funeral or a wedding in particular.
Okay.
There's a wedding on and she's walking past the church, she'll go in.
Really?
Into the wedding?
Yes, for a little look.
She's not like...
Yeah, she'll just go in and have... Just at the back of the... And there'll be other people at the back of the church. People will just go in and...
Really?
Have a little look, see who's getting married.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be too Canadian going, I wasn't invited, I can't be there.
Yeah, well, she doesn't go along for the meal or anything. She's like sitting up at the top table. Yeah. Sorry, the microphone, please. I've got a few words to say. Now on to the begrudgers.
Oh, that's her skill. She riffs at weddings and
movies. Yeah, exactly. Sounds like there should be a movie about this.
I want to know nothing to blame
me. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is a young woman who has just gotten a doctorate. She's not me. I wish that was a great reveal, like mic drop of like, I'm Dr. Saoirse Hanley. I'm not.
What would you be like to be a doctor? Sorry, I've digressed. Go on.
Doctorate. Well, I'll work on it. But this is a woman called Dr. Amy Lukes. And she got her PhD from a university that I don't remember the name of at some point in the past couple of weeks. And she went viral on X, formerly Twitter, this week because she shared a picture of her PhD like thesis.
Oh.
And she had passed her, I think they call it a viva, where you, I guess, defend the, you know,
your
thesis that you've done.
Yeah.
So her thesis was in English literature and the topic was the olfactory ethics, the politics of smell in modern and contemporary prose. And naturally she got torn to absolute shreds online because everybody thinks that like, oh, she has a PhD, she's a doctor of English literature. What's that even worth? You know, great, she's going to be a PhD in, you know, not that. And her topic is, you know, too niche or whatever it may be. And all this criticism is rolling in. And obviously she's actually handled it really, really well and come back to be like, you know, this is great because people are reading it.
Yeah.
You know, jokes on you. Academics don't often get their stuff kind of published more widely or read more widely. And she has. And it got me thinking a lot because, like, I think owning that and having it with a lot of grace is really good and being proud of that achievement because,
yeah,
like, my undergrad was English and French and I really struggled in the English literature side of it because, not struggled in the sense that, like, I was, like, you know, didn't like it. I loved it. I loved it so much. But the one thing that it felt to me was that I struggled a little bit being proud of it because I was like, this is great. I'm having an amazing time. I sit in this class every day and I get to talk to people about books and things I noticed and what I love and write this essay about this really niche aspect of this one book.
Yeah.
But like, what's the point, right? Mm. Like I've got friends who were in sciences or different kinds of, you know, I've got people who save lives for a living. And to me, I always struggled
with... Art saves lives.
I know. And I was thinking about this and it's really funny because obviously that woman's PhD took on a life of its own and that post kind of went viral and it's bounced back in the way that these internet, I guess, cultural signposts always do.
Yeah.
And there's things that have come up in the last week. People have been like, God, I sure wish somebody wrote a PhD on the olfactory ethics of smell here. Because like ultimately these are things that do reflect the life, you know, the lives that we lead and the world that we live in and all of these things that we study, that we read in books, do come back to us in like other ways. They teach us about ourselves, teach us about, you know, psychology, about life, about everything. And I feel like we should all be prouder of it. So she's my winner because she very proudly came
she
out with her PhD.
It,
she
yeah.
owned it and she's a doctor. So any of those Twitter losers aren't doctors and that's a loss for them. But
so
a win
what,
for her.
What would you like a doctorate in?
Uh-oh.
See, now...
Wordle.
Wordle.
Do you know what? Maybe because I do have a background in English, I'll have to pick something really, really niche or like something really like... I'm really proud of the fact that I read Ulysses one time.
Wow.
So maybe I could just like... Yeah,
I don't know if that makes... I don't know if you get a PhD
just for that. I think I could just... Dr. Saoirse Hanley read Ulysses one time. I think would be my standing.
It has a nice ring to it though.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
so. Doctor name, of doctor, Ulysses yep. reading. I do yep. have a lovely... I actually have a copy of a big, massive... hardback copy of Ulysses that was illustrated and is really beautiful and I've never like produced it and put it somewhere but it's going on my coffee table in the new year and I'm really excited.
Have Aww. You read Ulysses?
No.
Mm.
I'm sure that Ulysses? Doesn't come as a surprise.
I've listened to it.
Okay.
Right? And that is the best way.
An audiobook?
Apparently. Yeah. And do you know who told me to do it? Richard Boyd Barrett. He
really?
Is...
And you do what he tells you to do.
I do everything. Yes. Hello.
Vote for me.
Hello, mother. I'm like the Manchurian candidate.
maybe that's the way.
That is the way.
So he's a Ulysses nut. And,
really?
He was like, you know, I totally accept it's inaccessible for a lot of people, but listen to it. And
because
it's, and
I am
much
so
easier.
Bored walking this dog now that and I've run out of podcasts and things like that, that I need something. Yeah.
I think it's well worth it. And it's also, if you're trying to read it, listen to it while you read is another great way. That's how I did it. I actually took a class in college on
it was a Joyce class more broadly, and Ulysses was obviously a big chunk of that. And I came in at the end of the term and I was really excited because I'd like read the whole book, and I'd stayed up really late to finish it the day before. And we got into class and the lecturer was like, right, so we're going to hear your thoughts on this. What did you guys think? Obviously, you know, you haven't got the full experience because you weren't required to read the whole book, but obviously, you know, you read chapters. I read, to be fair, it's not impressive to read some of Ulysses, so I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't know until the last day of term you weren't supposed to.
I would like to be a doctor or so, that just solely for one reason. So that on a plane, someone would say, if there's a doctor on board, I could rush up and tell them I'm a doctor of medieval history.
On
I've got this.
That is 90% of the reason I would like
would
go on to further study.
Immensely.
I know, but I would get such a kick out of it. I would get such a kick out of it.
I'd be like,
quick, film this, film this. Yes, I'm a doctor. Anyway.
You can't help me.
Do you want to know why they cover the mirrors?
Yes.
So this is according to producer Claire. I.e., according to Wikipedia, it is a Jewish thing, honoring the deceased. All by covering mirrors in the house, mourners redirect their focus towards reflection and introspection rather than vanity and personal experience.
Ooh.
I like that.
Yes.
Okay, when I die, that's what you're all
like
doing.
Like Warren Beatty looking at himself in the mirror, walking in at the start of You Are So Vain. Or is it Mick Jagger? Who knows? Alison, what's on the show this weekend?
Mario Rosenstock.
Oh, very good. Long commute for him.
Yeah. We've kind of made a tradition of this. So we're open in telling people that we're each other's best friends at work, best friends.
Okay.
And only at work?
Outside of work as well. Well,
WBFs.
Maybe not. Yeah. I have him on every December, one of the Saturday Sundays. Yeah. And I imagine it's going to be fun.
Yeah, just shoot the proverbial.
You don't know where it's going to go with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll
all
be
right.
fun.
Look forward to that. Who's your sinner of the week?
Okay.
Mario Rosenstock.
This is controversial. It's a bunch of sinners. And I don't understand why they do what they do. It's the elves that are on the shelves across the country.
Oh, yeah.
Why are they so mean and messy and naughty? Yeah. They're so naughty.
So what has your elf been up to?
Not so much. I'm keeping a close eye on them and I think they know it. But it's just, why are they being so messy and so mean and ruining people's houses? I like tidy and I like order when it comes to my house.
Yes.
So it's just chaos. And it adds to a little bit of stress, I think.
Definitely adds
people
to a bit of
agree.
Stress. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, I'm sorry, that's probably mean to say of them, but they would be my sinners.
Yeah.
They're great at making the mess, but they're not cleaning the mess up.
They don't clean
no.
it up.
No, and this is the problem is you get up in the morning, you see what mess they've made,
I know.
And it's got to stay there all day, and
until
then
you come home
they
from
move
work.
On to another mess, and they never have cleaned up the previous day's mess, so that's the first thing you do in the morning.
I know, it's
you know,
just,
feed
it
the dog,
adds.
Clean up after
exactly.
the elves on the shelf.
So it just keeps adding stress and work to my workload, so
yeah.
I don't know. They're naughty, very, very
I'm kind
naughty.
Of hoping that the dog might solve the problem for me. I'm hoping the elves might position themselves low down some morning. And the dog will not let that pass.
Okay.
Oh, that opportunity, too good. That bright red.
You don't want them hurt, though.
Do I not?
No.
Do I not?
I just want them to behave.
Yeah.
Why can't they be helpful? Why don't they make the breakfast so when you come downstairs, it's made?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
The elves are listening.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, make
like,
the breakfast.
Start being helpful and then I'd be more welcoming to you.
So I came, do you know what my elves were doing this morning? My elves, the elves in my house.
Yeah.
There was a wine glass, two wine glasses on the table, and there was Coca-Cola in the wine glasses.
Right.
And there was a straw coming out, and they were perched on other wine glasses, sipping the Coca-Cola, and they had pooed out cola bottles into the wine glass underneath them.
They converted it to...
they consumed Coca-Cola the Coca-Cola,
elves
they pooed out a Coca-Cola bottle.
Wow. See, if they can do that, they can clean the house.
Yeah. The real test is going to be tomorrow morning,
right,
when they've gone on to something else, and God knows what it's going to be. Will my children eat the cola bottle poo that they've left?
They're just so...
I ask like there's any way in the world they won't.
But will you? Will. That's the real question.
No, because you know the source.
Yeah, I know the source.
Oh,
I know
true.
The source. Yeah, I know. Anyway, they're appalling creatures.
They
anyway,
really are.
They really
they're
are.
They're my sinners.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Worthy sinners. Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week is Spotify. I know we all got a Spotify Wrapped this week, which is always exciting. And I had a great time. It was like the last day of school in work. It was great. But the reason they're my sin of the week is because of the reliance on AI for a lot of the aspects of Wrapped. So, you know, when you get your Spotify Wrapped and it has all of these kind of, you know, tells you all these various things that you listen to or whatever.
Was yours accurate?
Sorry, it's so annoying. I click through all of that to get to the end.
To get to the end part, yeah. I do want to see what happens. I want to see.
I liked it.
Mine was pretty accurate.
Because my daughter's saying hers wasn't.
I've heard this before. Someone said they put a song on like five times and
it came up. Mine was very accurate.
So mine, I wish I could say it wasn't. It was very accurate. That's all me. That's all my own work. But the one thing, and I haven't actually been able to bring myself to listen to it fully because it just creeps me out. They have this AI podcast that has been generated for everybody that like these fake podcast hosts will tell you about stuff.
What?
Yeah. And you can like go in and it's like they're not real voices. They're like podcasts.
They're real people.
Fake AI people. And it creeps me out. Put them away.
But what are they doing? Telling you about your rap?
Because there's this whole like, there is a whole realm of AI podcasting that there's like these entire podcasts made by people who don't exist, right? They're just AI.
Oh my God.
Why bother? What do you call them? I don't know. And they've built up a rapport and they have this like weird AI chemistry with each other and they're like, I honestly don't know
who
it's for.
Why is Bauer paying us to be here?
Maybe none of us are here. Oh, maybe none of us are here. But I just...
We're not here, yeah.
There are some things.
Are we
that
real?
That shouldn't be automated. I would much rather be listening to you guys
very
talk
strange.
Than strange made up voices.
Did you do your Wrapped?
Yes, I did my Wrapped. So
is it accurate?
Someone put on Twitter, actually, I thought it was best. It was like, it shouldn't be called Spotify Wrapped. It should be called Spotify, Honey, My Kids Have Ruined My Algorithm.
Yeah.
So mine is, it's a mixture of like...
The Wiggles.
No, they're beyond that. So like Imagine Dragons and Maroon 5. They love this like Maroon 5 song that they just keep listening to the one song over and over. Animals.
It's a great song.
Yeah. Anyway, over and over and over. And then it's like... Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson. Like, oh yeah, that's where
so
I
you're
kick
not
in.
A secret Maroon 5 fan, okay? Sure,
yeah,
but whatever
sure,
you say,
yeah.
And yours.
My kids love Willie Nelson.
This is the thing that I was fascinated about, and a colleague of ours who's obsessed with Taylor. So I was told I was in the top 3% of the world.
What?
I was like, this is amazing. Of listening
I was in
to
the
Taylor.
Top one. Sorry, everybody.
So you too. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh
so she was bragging. She's like, rookie. I'm in the top percentage. I'm like, oh my God. I thought I was good at 3. So it's all Taylor for me and Bruce and Beyonce.
Yeah, and my top 5 were all Taylor, bar Espresso got its way in there.
Sabrina's not in mine at all.
Before we get to the last bit of the show, just in the context of Elves on the Shelf, are you going to watch the toy show tonight?
I have to go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
I am. I'm going to watch it. And I don't
are
have
you?
Any children in my house, but I'm going to watch it. Mm. Yeah. I was thinking, because I feel like...
You're one of them.
I am. Look,
it's very late for smallies.
It's too late.
It is also just late in general. It goes on... Always much later, I think it will.
Yeah.
But I just feel a bit like left out of the cultural conversation if I don't.
I know,
But 80% of the population of the country are not going to watch it.
Really?
Like a million people will watch it, but there's 5 million people in the country. Yeah. The other 4 million are not watching
they
it.
Watch
You're
it
in the
player.
Overwhelming majority if you don't watch the toy show.
But it's fun.
Are you
it's
watching
festive.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Would yours stay up for a while, though?
No, they'll give up. They'll give up. Maybe about 40 minutes in, I'd say.
Okay.
Although I thought that's what they would do. And then before I left for work this morning, I said that to my wife. I said, oh, sure, the kids will be gone like by you know, 10:15 or whatever. They'll pack it in. And she said, no, last year you went to bed at 10:15. And she says, I had to stay up till nearly midnight with them watching the toy show.
Do you know that there's 200, I was just reading about it before we came to air, 250 kids between performers and toy testers involved in this tonight. 250!
That's crazy.
Oh,
that's
crazy.
Insane.
No, Keelty should have done the decent thing and killed it when he came in.
Oh, no, but I think he's
absolutely.
Made for
that
it.
Would be the ultimate
cringe
well.
Behavior.
No, he should have done it. He should have done it. Anyway, I have long campaign for me. He ignores me.
Yeah, but they're going to be 50 years next year. So that's exciting.
That's a perfect opportunity to wind it down. That's what you're saying.
Yes. But also, all the people abroad that are watching it. I've watched it abroad. It's so fun trying to explain it to friends of yours that aren't from Ireland.
I know. They're
it's
like,
so
what
good.
The hell?
It's so good.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on. Sirius and Alison are going to stay with me. Back in a moment.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Saoirse Hanley and Alison Curtis are both still with me. It is the last part of the show. We were talking about the toy show before the break. I'm not a big fan. I'm also not a big fan of Saturday Night Live.
I know, you've said that before.
Yeah.
Maybe I should stop bringing this to the table.
Mm.
But there's an Irish...
And yet she never takes the hint, Saoirse. I keep saying it. She keeps bringing it up.
It's an Irish twist this time. So Paul Mescal is going to be hosting SNL tomorrow night. And my favorite thing on Sunday morning before I go to air is I watch all the highlights and the clips on Instagram. They keep reloading them up. But his promo clips were quite funny. So he's doing a gladiator, you know, piss take of gladiator.
I liked that.
And it just looks like, I mean, it's a huge opportunity. I mean, he's a global star now. So
yeah.
I think he'll do well with it because Irish people generally... I'm going to make a generalization, are very funny and have a great sense of humor. So I think
except
it's going
to when Saoirse Ronan was on it, it was kind of car crashy, wasn't it? Wasn't
you know
she doing
was
the air hostess? Wasn't that that?
Yeah, because they're making fun of the Irish accent.
Yeah.
Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. I hate saying that, and I know that they listen to you all the time, so I'll be careful.
Yes.
I was disappointed in that one. I felt like that was, there was two in. Maybe it's because the two of them were together.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's very Irish. And as much as we love that, American audience are like, what's happening here?
They narrowly avoided that. They have Hosier in the week after next.
Yeah, they do.
So they could have had a huge like.
They got Hosier on
the week after.
Oh, wow.
Are we going to make an SNL watcher out of you now?
No.
No?
Even then? No.
Why do you like it? I demand
primarily because it's not funny. That's the main.
Funny.
It's not, Alison. No, objectively unfunny.
I'm going to send you a sketch that involves Ryan Gosling and Santa, and you will laugh.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling and Aliens with Kristen Wiig.
Oh, that's the best.
Don't make
Kristen
me sing.
Wiig is Kate McKinnon.
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
That was the best one. Yes.
It's.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'm not
on.
Sure.
Yeah. Don't make me sing with John Hamm. Oh.
It's
so
too
good.
Funny. Anyway, we'll leave it
at
that.
Yeah. No, I just don't think it doesn't cross the Atlantic well. You know?
Well, it's gonna.
Some things don't. Seinfeld didn't cross the Atlantic that well.
You don't think so?
No, I think it's kind of partly funny, but if you think it, like, Friends was a much bigger cultural phenomenon in this country than Seinfeld. You know?
Seinfeld's very clever and very funny.
I don't know. It's like we don't want our humor too clever.
No, I don't think so. I think with Friends, it was more like they're like, let's just pretend we're in America as well and live in these apartments with crappy jobs but nice apartments.
Yeah.
I think it was voyeurism.
Amazing apartments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, SNL with Paul Mescal. it's on. That's what they call him, won't they? Paul Mescal.
They did.
Paul Mescal.
It's already happened.
Anyway, so that's on this weekend. Saoirse, the cinema on your own. Will you be there this weekend?
I won't be there. Actually, I might go to the cinema this weekend, but with people this time. But I did go yesterday by myself. I am a big believer in going to cinema alone. And I've said this for years, but yesterday was the like third time I've ever done it.
Wow.
But like in the cinema, right, you shouldn't be speaking to people because you're not supposed to be. And if you do, let's have a conversation about that. but like it's the, like why wouldn't you go alone? Because you can't talk to people. You're sat in silence. You're sat in the dark. You're watching a
film.
What
did you see?
Saw Conclave.
Well, what do you think?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to see it for a while and my mom said she watched it and she said it was good. So I was like, right, okay, that's what. Seal of approval, I'll go see it. Yeah. I thought it was fun. I thought Ralph Fiennes was fantastic. I have met Stanley Tucci the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah. I love you, Stanley Tucci. And it was, the sound was great. It was shot so beautifully. And I didn't think that courtroom style drama in the Vatican could be exciting. And it was. It was great.
See, the great book.
Oh, was the book good? I meant to read it.
Oh, the book is brilliant. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Audiobook for me. But I think it's nice to do the cinema on your own.
It's so nice. And I was finished work at 3, so I went at like 3:30, middle of the day, me and
it
a bunch
of pressure
older
off.
People. It's just great. Yeah, because you're not, I'm a bit neurotic about going to the cinema. I'm a bit of a drill sergeant when it comes to like getting in, getting a good, especially like sometimes booked seats aren't really a thing. So, you know, since COVID, we've not always done that as much anymore. And that gives me the most anxiety. So I would rather be there so early. Because what if the film's about to start and you're like, oh, I can't need to pee. Go pee. No problem. Come back. Trailers haven't finished. Got to get popcorn? No worries. Come back. At least put your coat on a chair and then do whatever you have to do. And you can relax. You can chat to your friends if you're with them. And then you can, movie starts. Everyone put your phones away. Everyone shut up and let's get watching. But yeah, by yourself, that is all gone. No one's going to say, oh, let's just go 10 minutes before the movie starts. There's trailers anyway. No. I'm going
to
be there by myself.
I have to say,
early.
The first time you do it is a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
No,
it was like something I'd always wanted. I had harbored the secret desire, but society kind of frowned upon it. and then I went on my own. I just said, you know what? I can't live a lie. You know,
to
thine own self be true.
I
go to the cinema.
It's true.
On my own. And
now your family's like, where the hell is he all the time?
Oh, I love going on my own.
No, my housemate did say last night, because I was saying to her, and she said that, she was like, God, I should really start doing that. And then she was like, I suppose I think I'll be embarrassed, but the only embarrassing thing is walking in. But even that's not embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing.
No, it's not. No.
It's fine. It's grand.
It is hard to learn to do something on your own, because I remember when I traveled before I moved here, and I was with a friend, and we started in Switzerland. We did Italy, Spain, all over the place before I moved here. And she's like, well, I'm off one day. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, I'm going to go have a coffee and do this and that. And I remember going, what am I doing? And she's like, I don't care, really. I'll see you tonight for dinner. And I was actually like, something. And I was in my early 20s. And I was like, doing something on my own? Like, I just had never done that ever. Maybe because I, you know, a twin, I whatever, close-knit family, close friends. We just never, ever did anything. And she just thought I was so weird.
And now?
I don't get a chance to do that much on my own. I mean, I don't really want to. I want to be with my daughter all the time, obsessed. Hi, Joan. But I haven't, other than the cinema once last year, I haven't actually done very much on my own.
I haven't mastered going for a drink alone. I feel so uncomfortable with that the whole time.
Oh, no, it's lovely.
Take that away, though, now, because everyone's just like, oh, I'm on my phone anyway.
That's what I would do, but then I feel like I'm not enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I do that at home.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know.
Oh, a little crossword on your own with a drink. Actually, crosswords. Wait till I tell you.
I'm the top of the
plane. Anyway, we've changed the name of the crossword group this week. It was called the Haiku Crossdressers, and now it's called the Entropy Crossword Club. There's backstories to both. Maybe next week. I don't want too much excitement for people in one week, because they've got the toy show tonight anyway. Anyway, Saoirse Hanley, Alison Curtis, thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.